To God, good morning, hallelujah, yep, and welcome to a great week, welcome to a wonderful time, hallelujah. I'm sure you must have had a wonderful weekend, and just in case you joined us, for the influence of the Spirit yesterday, how was it? It would be good to hear your feedback, know how it was, how blessed you were, and in case you couldn't make it, please, you need to listen. You need to listen to yesterday's influence of the Spirit. So what you can do is just, because so this is Morning Faith Boost. So just click on my name, Lion Rex Anasia, right up there on just above where you find the Morning Faith Boost. Click it. It takes you to the larger folders. You know, then you find the influence of the Spirit folder. All right. It takes you maybe, should I call it my page now? On Spreaker, then you look for folders, you find the influence of the Spirit, you click that, and then you find past editions. Yesterday's there. Please listen, like seriously, please listen. It will bless you amazingly. It would also, I guess I went further than what we're teaching. We're taking step by step here. That's just weekly, and then just put it together and it would really, really, really like bless you. Praise God. So, I mean, we're learning the things that we need to put our faith in, having faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I believe it's been exceptional. We ended so beautiful last week, and we'll build up from there today. Okay, so Psalm 122, verse 1, Psalm 122, the first verse of Psalm 122. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And so you find very, very many of us make reference to this. Maybe church service is about to start. You know, and then we pick the microphone and say, oh, glory to God. Can we lift up our hands? Service starts right now. Oh, it's so good to be here. The Bible says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Is your so good? You know, and all that. Now, you've got to get this. What David said, David meant, all right? Because we're learning about the presence of God. One of the things we have access to now, all right, now that the body of Jesus was broken, was shed, all right, he was crucified, we were crucified in him. What are the things that we have access to? We had looked last week at John chapter 14, all right, from verse 1, where Jesus said, "Believe in God, believe in me also. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And then he said, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there he may be also." I go to prepare a place for you. So Jesus wants to be in the same place with us. And if you say, okay, well, maybe we're talking to the people right in front of him, that he'll be back after resurrection. And yes, he was back. But don't forget in John, you know, same John 14, he had told them that "I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter, that he, the comforter, may abide with you forever." So when he resurrected, he told them, "Remain in Jerusalem until you endure the power from on high." He said it in Luke 24, said it in Acts chapter 1. So he still said to them, "Stay." So he could have just said, "Well, I'm back. All right, so let's roll. Let's hang out." No, it was just with them for about 40 days. And then that was it. He left, you know. So you and I need to understand the concept of the presence of God. All right. We could maybe have to run through from the Old Testament to have a great value for this. But there are basics like the verse we just read today that you understand. "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" So what would have made him glad? So when we tell that to believers, what do we expect to make them glad? Oh, you know, the presence of God, you know, is here. Psalm 84 and the 10th verse, Psalm 84 verse 10 says, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." I mean, well, true, if one would make a comparison, you know, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than, you know, to dwell in tents of wickedness, for real, you know. "A day in your courts is better than a thousand," and that's awesome. But we're bringing it again to. So what has happened to us now? What's going on with us right now? So that's what we're looking at. So where do I put my faith? Where's the presence of God? I need to be there. I mean, oh, they said God is moving here. Let me go. Oh, God is moving there. Let me go. Now, one thing I must say, you know, before we get too far, is yes, there's the general, as it were, presence of God. Then there is the manifest, the presence of God. So, oh, God is everywhere. All right, Psalm 139, the psalmist was saying, you know, "Where do I go from your presence? You're everywhere. Even if I make my bed in hell, you're there." You know, so you're everywhere. So we know that. But we also know, yes, that God is not made manifest everywhere, but something has happened to the new creature. Something has happened to the new creation. You need to understand this, all right? Something has happened to the new creature. Something happened to the new creation. Something interesting was said in Psalm 16. So let's see, which one do I read first? Do I read Psalm 16? Do I read I'll read Acts 2. So in Acts 2, let's see, let me do... Because I'm picking a very, very, very popular, very, I mean, when I read it, you're like, oh, but that's like super popular. Yeah, so I'm picking that, you know, super like popular, like very, very popular place in the Bible. And then I want to show us something or where it connects. So Peter preaching to the, you know, to everybody in Acts 2 from the 22nd verse, he said, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him." I'm using the NIV. "Which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But," I love this, "God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." That verse It's beautiful. So I'm like, what verse is that? It's 24. So I'll take it again. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. 25. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Please note. 25 again says, David said about him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always, all right, before him. All right. I saw the Lord always before him, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also rests in hope. 27. Because you will not abandon me in the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see corruption. You have made me to know the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. I'm going to read this one more time and then we'll go to the very original place where it was said. Once again from 24. All right. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was not possible for death to keep its hold on him. Death could not keep its hold on Jesus Christ. All right. David said about him, not about himself. David was saying about Jesus, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also, body, would rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made me to know the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Why was this quoted? What's the relevance of it? How important is this to us? I mean, what's our concern with this? So I'm running over now to Psalm 16. Okay, so get to Psalm 16 and the 8th verse of Psalm 16. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. NIV still. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will rest secure. Sounds familiar. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. 11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Anybody getting that? I'm using NIV. So let me switch that verse 11 now to what? The King James Version of the Bible. For you will show me the path of life, for in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So Jesus is being referred to here, all right? And Jesus, we're knowing here by revelation that David was saying that Jesus wasn't left in the realm of the dead, all right? But that God will show him the path of life, because in God's presence is fullness of joy, and at that right hand, pleasures forevermore. I want you to take note of that. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So this verse is referring to post-resurrection. Did you get that? This verse now, all right, is a post-resurrection reality. Let me go back to Acts chapter 2. Let's just connect it. Are you getting that now? So because God did not leave him in the realm of death, God did not allow him to see corruption. God did not leave him in the realm of death. God didn't allow him to see corruption. He now says, oh, you show me the path of life. Okay. You will not let your Holy One to see corruption. All right. You know, your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, pleasures forevermore. 29. Now, fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he will place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, referring to David now, he saw what was to come. He spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Watch verse 33 now. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Oh, glory, 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 glory. I'm going to pick it again from where? 29. I want you please to follow. Fellow Israelites, I tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried. And his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him, all right, on oath that he will place some of his descendants on his throne, seeing what was to come. He spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead. So David was speaking. So when you quote, oh, in his presence is fullness of joy, at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore, originally it is a post-resurrection reality. And what are we learning? Faith in the finished work. And of course, he had to die. He had to be buried. He resurrected. So when you say, oh, in his presence is fullness of joy, it's a post-resurrection reality. He's saying that verse, all right, was said concerning Jesus after resurrection, that his body was not allowed to decay. So in John chapter 11, at the tomb of Lazarus, where Jesus asked, hey, where did they put him? They took him to the tomb. And then he said, roll away the stone. Martha said, Lord, by this time he would be stinking. Corruption, decay sets in. Bible said the body of Jesus was not allowed to see corruption. Even his body was not allowed to see decay. He wasn't just going to be allowed. And he didn't have to spend more than 3 days there. He resurrected. He died. He resurrected. This is post-resurrection. All right, so 31 again says, seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God had raised this Jesus, all right, to life, and we're all witnesses of it. Exalted, please, I want you to see this. Exalted to the right hand, don't forget Psalm 16, in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand. In his presence, hallelujah, is fullness of joy, and at his right hand, all right, pleasures forevermore. 33 here, all right, Acts 2:33 NIV. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven. So he's referring to resurrection, he's referring to ascension. 34, for David did not ascend to heaven, and yet David said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. So the entire portion we just read right now is saying Jesus resurrected, and he makes reference to two major statements that David made. All right, in your presence is fullness of joy, at your right hand there's forevermore. And then he says, hey, David did not ascend to heaven, but David said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at your right hand, all right, till I make your enemies your footstool. So we quickly get to Hebrews and the first chapter of the book of Hebrews. All right, we'll pick it quickly from verse 1. In the past, NIV still, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. Verse 3 is where we're going. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven. Please get that. After he had made or he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven. After he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty of heaven. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So Jesus is in the presence of God. We all agree. Nobody argues with it. All right. And he's not coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. So where he is, there's fullness of joy. Where he is, there are pleasures forevermore. So we say to the believer, hey, when you come to church, and then we quote, oh, Bible says, oh, it's so good to be here today in his presence, fullness of joy. No, that is not the presence of God. Someone said, oh, that's where you've been going since. Yes, since. It's just good to have scriptures. All right? To be fuller in your understanding and your knowledge. All right, so David says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of God. I look forward to going. I mean, I look forward to this whole lockdown thing ending, and then the church of Jesus can meet physically. All right, Bible says we should not forsake the assembly of one another. All right, thank God we can, you know, assemble online. But there's just a beauty of worshiping God in the company of the brethren. There's just so much beauty about that. But I'm saying to the believer that there's something classical about the presence of God that has now been brought to you, and you have been brought into. You have been brought into his presence. His presence has been brought into you. Oh, in his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So Jesus is at the very right hand of God. I mean, we don't have a question about that, no argument about that. So, hey, Ephesians chapter 1. So where is Ephesians? So pick it from the 19th verse of Ephesians chapter 1. So 19 says, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly realms. All right? In his presence is fullness of joy, at his right hand, pleasures forevermore. So Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Nobody argues with that. All right? He exerted it when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power, dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the world to come. And he says, God has placed all things under his feet, appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills everything in every way. So I jump straight over, all right, to verse 6 of 2 Corinthians. And God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So where are we seated? You go back to Ephesians 1, at the right hand of God. So in his presence is fullness of joy, at his right hand. So who is at his right hand? Not just Jesus. Who is at his right hand? The church. Jesus is the head of the church. The body is, you know, the body of Jesus Christ, the church, or is the body of Jesus Christ. All right, so both the head and the body are at the right hand. So Psalm says it was referring to resurrection, and we see that we were raised up together with him. Ephesians 2:6, and God raised us up together, made us sit together. So when he ascended and entered into the presence of God, he entered into the presence of God with us. We entered into the presence of God with him. We entered with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Bible says, if any man be in Christ, when you are in Christ, anywhere Christ is where you are. So if Christ is at the right hand of the Father, anyone in Christ is at the right hand of the Father. Did you get that? Because Ephesians 1 says, oh, he resurrected Jesus with his mighty power, his incomparably great power. God resurrected Jesus with it. Oh, glory to God. Everybody understands us. And we look up to Jesus. Oh, Jesus is resurrected. Oh, Jesus is seated. You know, and then we sing a song like, there's no greater place to be than to bow. You know, there is no higher calling, no greater honor than to bow and kneel before your throne. Good song. I get the point. It just means, all right, there's just nothing like worshiping him. And also there's no higher calling, no greater honor than to bow and kneel before your throne. There is a higher calling. The higher calling, the highest calling is where Christ is. It means you're seated. You're not bowing. The highest calling is not to bow before the throne. I need to get that. All right. Song is great. Beautiful. I mean, the idea behind it, to the level to which I understand is, hey, there's nothing as honorable as just worshiping him. He didn't say that. He said, I put you where I am. That's the honor. All right. In John 17, he said, the glory the Father has given him, he's given unto us. Hey, he's put us where he is. And he is in the highest place of honor possible at the Father's right hand. And that's where we are. That's where we are. That's where we are. That's where we are. Oh, glory to God. All right. So I am in Christ. Anywhere Christ is, if you're born again, if you've confessed Jesus as Lord of your life, you are in Christ. You are in Him. So if He's at the Father's right hand, you are at the Father's right hand. If He's seated, you are seated. If He's enthroned, you are enthroned. Have faith in this. Have faith in this. If He's seated, you are seated. If He's enthroned, you are enthroned. If He's been given dominion and authority, you have the same dominion and authority because you're seated. You're a joint heir with Him. Not because you did anything special. It's an act of His love. See, this Ephesians chapter 2, the fourth verse, Ephesians 2, 4, says, but because of God's great love for us, all right, God who is rich in mercy, I want you to see that, all right, but because of His great love for us, God who is rich in mercy, verse 5 now says, made us alive together in Christ. But I just wanted you to see that verse 4. Let me read verse 4. NLT says, but God is so rich in mercy and He loved us so much. I'm just going to pick that part out. All right. Of course, verse 5 now says, even when we're dead in trespasses and sins. So, but I'm saying the whatever propelled what He did is His mercy and love. All right. Amplified. I'll look for Amplified. Beautiful. Amplified. Classic Amplified. Classic Amplified. I'll read both. So Amplify Classic first. But God, so rich in His mercy because of His, you know, because of, watch that. Let me read that very well. But God, so rich in His mercy because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love which He has for us. Isn't that beautiful? One more time. Classic Amplified. All right. But God, so rich is He in His mercy because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love which He loved us. All right. Verse 5 now says, even when we're dead, He made us alive. All right. So I'm just reading verse 4. Amplified, not classic. Now Amplified says, but God, being so very rich in mercy because of His great and wonderful love with which He loved us. So I like classic. I'll take classic one more time. But God, so rich is He in His mercy because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which He loved us. Oh, this is beautiful. God's love towards you is great. God's love towards you is wonderful. God's love towards you is intense. So God was, allow me, crazily in love with us. Like, whoa, whoa, because of that great love. All right, verse 5, all right, now tells us, all right, made us alive together with Christ even when we're dead in sins. But the driving part, the motivation, the thing that compelled Him. So we're not raised up together with Christ because we did something fantastic. You know, you didn't do anything. You didn't even know when this whole thing happened. We're raised up together as an act of God's love. As an act of God's love. Let me show you verse 7. In order that in the ages to come, all right, in coming ages, He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ. Did you get that? Let's see. NLT. So God can point to us in our future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us. The incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us. Passion Translation. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of His grace and kindness, which was showered upon us, all right, in Christ Jesus. This is beautiful. The visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of His grace and kindness. Visible display. So God lifted us all and put us in His exact presence. You are in Christ. And Colossians 1:27, we'll deal with all that tomorrow. Christ is in you. That presence was never understood by anybody in the Old Testament. We'll look at this better tomorrow. So David said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of God. Isn't it wonderful that Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:16 now says, don't you know that you are now the temple of the living God. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. You are now the moving, breathing, walking house of God. And the Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 3:16 Amplified says, has his permanent dwelling inside of you. I want you to walk through your day knowing that you carry the presence of God. You are the temple of God. Wherever you are, that temple is there. You could pray, you could praise, you could speak words of authority just where you are, where you will be all through your day. You are seated. You are not leaving the chair. Then when it's time for prayer, you go back on the chair. You are ever positionally seated at the right hand. It means joy belongs to you. It means the pleasures of God, the goodness, the blessings, the inheritance of God, they all belong to you. I believe this blessed you. Please just hook up with me and let's build this. Let's have better scriptural understanding and better understanding and light and revelation of what has happened to us in Christ. Glory, glory to God. Thanks for always tuning in. Have a very, very beautiful day. Bye. Strong.